the supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it. And leave no grief unless Thou takes it away. And leave no enemy. And leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of in the name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, especially this program, today's special, Salamun Alaikum, so welcome. Today we're going to speak about the concept of freedom in Islam. I invite you to be with us. La, 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 la. Today, Monday, is the 23rd of Rabiul Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of the month of Azar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 29th of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter Ma'idah, that is the fifth chapter of the Holy Quran, verses 87 to
88. تحرموا طيبات ما أحل الله لكم ولا تعتدوا إن الله لا يحب المعتدين.
O you who have believed, do not prohibit the good things which Allah has made lawful to you, and do not transgress. Indeed, Allah does not like transgressors.
وَكُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَنْتُمْ بِهِ مُؤْمِنُونَ.
And eat of what Allah has provided for you, which is lawful and good, and fear Allah, in whom you are believers.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
One day the Messenger of Allah was speaking for people about the hereafter. The audience were so touched that some of them decided from then on not to consume any good food, to prohibit comfort unto themselves, to observe a fast, to abandon wives, and to sleep at night less than before. When the Prophet was informed of it, he mustered people in the mosque and told them, I eat food, I sleep at night, and do not abandon my wives. Our religion is not the creed of retreat and monasticism. The monasticism of Ummah is the holy struggle. Whoever goes a direction other than my style is not a Muslim.
Oh God, thank you for giving us the strength to hold on. And now we're here together, calling you for freedom, freedom. I know you can hear our call. Oh, oh.
So welcome to this part, the concept of freedom in Islam. The freedom that Islam grants is based on responsibility, without which there can be no true freedom. Freedom without restraints leads only to nihilism, the consequence of which is the complete breakdown of the moral and social order. The irresponsible concept of freedom, expounded by existentialism, democracy, and modern theories of freedom of expression, lead only to corrupt and immorality, since they are not tied to any concept higher moral values or self-control. For Islam, freedom lies in commitment and responsibility. They form an integral part of each other and can in no way be separated. There is no freedom of choice without responsibility, no responsibility without freedom.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, the topic is aspects of freedom in the Islamic system according to Imam Khomeini. It's indicated here, it's asserted that freedom has received various philosophical, moral, ethical, mystical, and legal aspects and or definitions. We find that, such abstract concepts, when discussed by the various scholars, usually they receive various interpretations and definitions and modifications. It must be indicated that mystical freedom means the being free from worshipping any other thing or any deity save Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any other deity save Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moral deity means being free from the domain and domination of carnal desires and sexual lusts. Legal freedom means social freedom that all people may enjoy in their communities. And at the same time, it must be indicated that in Islam, I mean, this freedom, I mean, this the concept of freedom in Islam, it must be indicated that it has received various definitions. Prior to discussing the various kinds of or definitions of freedom in Islam, it must be indicated that in the Western scholarly traditions, there were some authorities, some great people, big names, who gave definitions of freedom. One of them was Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the Swiss scholar. Another one was John Locke, the British philosopher, or John Stuart Mill, who was also a British thinker. For example, Machiavelli, the Italian political philosopher, has provided his own definition of freedom, or Thomas Hobbes in England, or others, or other, I mean, personalities in Europe have come up with their own definitions of freedom according to their own mindsets.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Freedom of belief is the title of this part. Another type of freedom is somewhat controversial. It is the freedom of belief, which constitutes a great part of which is known as religious freedom. From an Islamic perspective, people are free to choose their own religion, and no one should force them to adhere to any particular religion. Faith can only come when people voluntarily choose to be faithful. Force is not accepted, nor does it work. Of course, this does not mean that whatever people choose will make no difference and all will bear the same fruit. Ultimately, some may have good results, and while others may suffer horrible consequences for himself and possibly others. Thus, everyone must make their choices with the utmost care that he may ever exercise in any of his decisions that he makes in his life. Thus, it becomes necessary to use rational arguments and exercise logical reasoning to reach the ultimate truth. Blind faith in its entirety is unacceptable in Islam.
Somebody just tell me, where is my freedom?
The concept of freedom in the Nahjul Balagha. In part, in Khutbah 86, in a speech 86, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, says that human beings are given sound bodies and limbs with perfect senses to acquire the knowledge of the external world and the light of reason and wisdom, so they are able to exercise their freedom of thought and action. This point forms a recurring theme of Nahjul Balagha. For a sound body, sound senses and reason are necessary conditions for exercising freedom. Those who are deficient in these respects are not held responsible for their acts, such as insane persons and infants. Solely those endowed with these things are responsible for their acts. Let's finish this episode of today's special by a short part of Khutbah 86 of Nahjul Balagha. lives of men who were enjoying themselves to their heart's content and had perfect freedom of action have such useful lessons in them to teach.
In Islam, we have a freedom of choice and a freedom of religion, which is embedded in our constitution, in our book. أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Do you impose religion on people? You should not do that. You should not impose it at all. Let them choose religion. The value of their religiosity when they choose, when they have the freedom of discovering it, not when they don't have a choice and they have to follow it blindly. In some Arab countries, they force people to be religious. Therefore, the majority of them are non-religious. When they get the freedom to leave that country, some of them, they become atheists. People of that country, they become atheists. And that tells you a lot. Tells you because they never understand the value of religion, the meaning of religion. They never. It was imposed on them. One of the most important values of this country is to be welcoming of all faiths, all religions, without discrimination. And that is embedded in the Bill of Rights. But when you see the leader of this country, political leader, he says we have to shut down the Muslims from entering the United States. On another occasion, he says, Islam hates us. This is very dangerous. Islam does not hate except the shaitan, except Satan and those who promote satanic policies and strategies. Islam does not hate anyone. Islam is about integration. Islam is about compassion and love and working together and interfaith relationship. So this person is misinformed. Islam does not hate anyone. Islam is about love.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much. We were speaking about freedom in Islam. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode of today's special. Till then, we leave you in Allah's blessings. Have a nice time.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us ponder on an aphorism from the commander of the faithful and the leader of the pious, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Incapability is a catastrophe. Endurance is bravery. Abstinence is riches. Self-restraint is a shield against sin. And the best companion is submission to Allah's will. Thank you.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abi al-Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We have spoken about the heart in a few episodes, and what we mean by the heart obviously is not the physical heart, but it is the essence. It is that particular place. Again, place is not a correct word, because obviously the essence of a human being does not have a particular place, as we know, or a location, but it is that particular entity, or vessel, if you want to call it, that receives and is able to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, feels Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as certain people have said. But this heart, it has to be sound. As we said, it needs to be receptive, and we gave one of the examples of how a heart can become more receptive. But there's also other things, and there are also other means by which the heart can become more receptive and sound, or what is known as qalbun salim, that heart that a person needs to arrive at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. And the imam in this tradition says that if a person arrives with any other type of heart that is not salim, so for example, if you take this qalbun salim and you put it in the middle of a scale, it is right in the middle, either you go to one side or you go to the other side, and the scale starts tilting and swaying and moving up and down, regardless of which side it is a failed heart. And this is what the Imam alayhi salam in this tradition is trying to show us, that the heart that is salim, that is in equilibrium, a heart that has nothing other But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only qalbun salim, or the pure, sound heart. So in this tradition, it is reported that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in explaining the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the glorious Quran, where it is said that except him who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sound heart, or that qalbun salim, the Imam in explaining this verse said, a sound heart that meets its Lord having nothing other than him in it. That the heart must be purified of everything, as the philosophers and the urafa would say, ma siwa Allah. Everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be completely removed from the heart. And then, as I mentioned, the scale, the two sides, that every heart that has polytheism, that there is more and other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart, that is one side of the scale. Or a heart that has doubt in it, that's on the other side. Whether you doubt about Allah, his creation, his Nabi, his Wali, and his guides, and his favors, and so on and so forth. A heart that has either polytheism or doubt is a failed heart. It is not a qalbun salim. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to attain this pure, sound heart, inshaAllah, and to arrive at the doorstep and the threshold of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with such a heart, inshaAllah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners who are listening to this program.
Thank you for accepting our invitation, brother.
Thank you.
Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, we are going to talk about a Quran reciter. Then we are going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. And after it, then we are going to listen to a recitation by that reciter preceded by its English translation. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. And beside these parts, we are going to have some other interesting Quranic segments which will be presented to you. So stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Saeed Abdus Samad Az-Zanati. He is an Egyptian reciter who was born in 1927 in the rural area of the Qahliya Governorate. His father, Sheikh Abdus Samad Az-Zanati, was a Quran hafiz or memorizer. At the age of 10, he started Quran memorization and recitation. and he managed to complete them before turning 12. When he turned 17, he had learned the 7 methods of reciting the Holy Quran and the 10 methods of the recitation of the Noble Quran. He had a special, unique voice and had a careful knowledge of Tajweed. In 1960, he joined Egyptian Quran Radio, and he passed away in 1990 at the age of 63. May Allah bless him. The audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verse 255 of Surah Al-Baqarah, known as Ayatul Kursi, along with its next verse, that is verse number 256, recited by Sheikh Saeed Abdul Samad Az-Zanati. Let's enjoy it.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يئوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم لا فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها والله سميع صدق الله العظيم.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 255 and 256 of Surah Al-Baqarah, recited by Sheikh Saeed Abdul Samad Az-Zanati. Now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yes. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Okay, Sheikh Saeed Abdul Samad Az-Zanati, just like you said, he was from the Qahliya Governorate of Egypt, a place where also Shahat Anwar was from. And Shahat Muhammad Anwar, he learned a lot from this reciter. And as we just heard, there were a lot of similarities between the style of Sheikh Zanati and Sheikh Shahat Anwar. You could clearly see this in this recitation. And in general, reciters, Egyptian reciters from one region, recite the Quran like each other. of a similar style. For example, the Gharbiya governorate, which is west of Egypt, mm-hmm. we have Mustafa Ismail, we have Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan, we have Raghib Mustafa Ghalwash, and so on. These reciters, they recite the Quran similarly, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so do the reciters in the east of Egypt, such as the Qahliya and Sharqiya governorate. For example, we have Sheikh Shahat Anwar, we have Sheikh Hamdi Zamil, we have Sheikh Zanati, we have Sheikh Muhammad Al-Laythi, who is from Sharqiya governorate, which is right next to the Qahliya. And basically, these reciters, they recite the Quran with a similar style, and it's because of the region that they lived in.
The Qahliya.
The Qahliya and Sharqiya, they're right mm-hmm. next to each other. And this recitation was in Hafs an Asim entirely. And the maqamat that were used, the entire recitation was in maqam al-Rast. Okay.
Yes.
And by the way, Sheikh Abdul Samad al-Zanati is known as Malikul Hijaz.
The king of
the
Hijaz.
The king of Maqam Hijaz.
That is Maqam.
Maqam Hijaz. Hijaz. But they say Malikul Hijaz, meaning Maqam Hijaz. The way that he recited Maqam Hijaz was very unique.
So it is not referred to actually the land.
No, it's not. It's referred to the Maqam. And a lot of reciters, Egyptian reciters, they followed the style of Zanati in reciting Maqam Hijaz. Yes. This includes Shahat Muhammad, or this includes Muhammad al-Layth. Almost all the reciters after Zanati,
mm-hmm.
they followed the way that he used Maqam Hijaz. And this was entirely Maqam Rast, except Wallahu Sami'un Alim was in Maqam Sika.
Okay. Now let's talk about Tajweed.
Tajweed. Allahu la ilaha. We have Maddul Munfasil.
Disjunct.
The disjunct med. Sheikh Zanati lengthened it to four vowel counts. But we have two other options as well. We could lengthen it to two vowel counts and also five vowel counts.
Yes.
Okay. Huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. Qayyum. The qaf in the word al-qayyum has tafkhim because it's a letter of isti'la.
So it should be pronounced thickly.
With thickness, yes. And it's the second level of tafkhim, the second highest level
actually.
Because the qaf has a fatha. So we have to pay close attention to the haraka, the vowel of letters of isti'la, and pronounce them with the appropriate level of tafkhim. Okay, mm-hmm. For example, a letter of isti'la could have a kasra or ya'ul med. You would have to pronounce it with the lowest level of tafkhim. But sometimes it has an aliful med, for example.
That okay. is the highest,
the highest level. You have to apply the highest level of tafkhim.
And to do so, we have to actually, I think,
open the mouth vertically.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you know, the root of the tongue also raises up. Okay. لا تأخذه. We have a kha with tafkhim, this time at a moderate level because mm-hmm. of the dhamma.
Could you remind us of the letters of tafkhim?
Yes. They're also known as the letters of isti'la.
Mm-hmm.
The letters of isti'la are they're sad, lad, ba, wa, qaf, ghain, and kha.
Seven letters.
We have seven letters of isti'la, and they have to be pronounced with a full mouth or with the root of the tongue raised. And sometimes the mouth opens vertically, especially for fatha and aliful mad.
Yes.
Okay.
Because tafkhim has levels, as you said.
Yes, yeah, different levels. Sinatun wala. We have idgham of nun sakina ma'al ghunna. So we have to pronounce, we have to apply the idgham. We shouldn't pronounce the nun sakina of the tanwin. Instead, we pronounce the next letter, which is a waw,
Mushad.
With tashdeed, and also ghunna. We have six letters of idgham of nun sakina, which are yarmalun.
Yes.
Ya, ra, mim, lam, waw, and nun. four of these letters, Ya, Mim, Waw, and Nun, which are called the letters of Yamun. If Idgham takes place into these letters, you have to also apply Ghunna to those letters. Just like here.
They should be pronounced nasally.
Nasally for two vowel counts. Sinatun wa la naum.
The air goes through the nasal cavity.
And sometimes through the oral cavity as well. For Waw and Ya.
Yeah,
but for Mim and Nun, we have only the nasal cavity.
You're right.
Because we have obstruction in their place of articulation. Nun is a nasal stop, and so is Mim.
Yes.
So there's no airflow in the mouth.
That's right.
Man lalladhi. We have ikhfa of nun sakina here. Ikhfa means that the nun sakina is not pronounced from its place of articulation. Instead, you have to approximate the place of articulation of the letter after the nun sakina.
That is the letter of ikhfa.
Which is a letter of ikhfa. And you have to apply ghunna at the same time for two vowel counts. So, what do we mean by approximation of the letter of ikhfa? We mean that you have to make the articulators that are involved for producing the sound of that letter of ikhfa to get really close to the place of articulation of that letter. And you have to keep the tongue, for example, or the teeth, if it's, for example, a bilabial consonant, you have to keep either the tongue, the teeth, or whatever. The
articulator.
Any articulator. Close to the place of articulation
just
of that
before
letter.
Touching.
Just before touching it. But not touching it.
Mm-hmm.
Except for two letters. Off
and
kaf. You could make it touch for these two letters. But for the other letters, they should not touch the place of articulation of that letter of ikhfa. They should get really close to the place of articulation of that
and
letter.
We should keep it there.
Such as thal here. And we have to keep the articulator in that position for two vowel counts, nasal, and you have to nasalize, apply nasalization at the same time for two vowel counts, like this. Man, see, it gets really close to thal, but we don't say man thal ladhi. We say man thal ladhi.
Yes.
It gets really close. Yashfa'u indahu. Indahu, we have another ikhfa with the same principles, just like the previous one. Except this time the letter is dal.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to approximate dal.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Ocean of Dua. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrak wa astashfi'u bika ila nafsak wa as'aluka bijudika an tudniyani min qurbak wa an tuzi'ani shukrak wa an tulhimani dhikrak. Allahumma inni as'aluka su'ala khadi'in mutadhallilin khashi'in an tusamihani wa tarhamani wa taj'alani biqismika radiyan qani'a.
Brothers and sisters, in this section of Kumail's supplication, Imam Ali alayhi salam is teaching the supplicants to humbly ask Almighty Allah for requests. Allahumma inni as'aluka su'ala khadi'in mutadhallilin khashi'. O Allah, verily I ask you with the asking of a submissive, abased and lowly man, an tusamihani, to show me forbearance, wa tarhamani, to have mercy on me, وَتَجْعَلَنِي بِقِسْمِكَ رَاضِيًا قَانِعًا, and to make me satisfied and content with your apportionment, وَفِي جَمِيعِ الْأَحْوَالِ مُتَوَاضِعًا, and to make me humble in every state. There are four requests from the Almighty Allah: the request of forbearance, the request for His mercy that we talked about these two, and the third one is where Imam alayhi salam says, وَتَجْعَلَنِي بِقِسْمِكَ رَاضِيًا قَانِعًا, and to make me satisfied and content with your apportionment. This is the request for satisfaction. We all know that all the creatures, hidden and apparent, they have all been created, and they are placed in their positions. They are all set towards their right goals. And towards reaching these aims, they are provided with the sustenance in accordance with their lifestyle, in accordance with their activities. The Holy Quran says, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no moving creature on earth, but its sustenance depends on Allah. The Almighty Allah, the Compassionate, provides His servants their sustenance as appropriate in two ways: expanded for some, and for some others, narrow.
Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances. Oh Allah, I beg as one whose neediness is extreme, and who supplicates his knees to you, and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. Oh Allah, great is your kingdom, and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest,
Your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. O Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues.
The Holy Quran says, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. Surely, your Lord outspreads and straightens His provisions unto whom He wills. إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرًا بَصِيرًا. Surely, He is aware of and sees His servants. The Benevolent has set different ways for His servants to get halal and lawful sustenance, like farming, like business, like many of the careers nowadays. They are all halal and they are all lawful, except the otherwise is mentioned explicitly or implicitly. So, industries and other beneficial professions are the result of thought and activity of mankind, and they are all lawful. The Almighty Allah has set no one's sustenance through unlawful activities, such as theft and plunder, such as bribery and other things. In fact, what they get unlawfully is diminished from their lawful sustenance. The Holy Quran and traditions have encouraged people to gain sustenance through legal works. They consider the expansion or narrowness of lawful sustenance as Almighty Allah's expedience, which should be accepted wholeheartedly by human beings. Islam has obliged seeking lawful sustenance, considering it as a great worship. Suffering the body and enduring difficulties in this way is also considered the key and path to many values, as it has been mentioned in many traditions. Many traditions are narrated from the Holy Prophet ﷺ in this regard. He ﷺ says, طلب الحلال فريضة على كل مسلم ومسلمة. Seeking lawful sustenance is obligatory for all Muslim men and women. The Holy Prophet explicitly is talking about both men and women in this tradition, meaning the obligation is for everyone, be it man or woman. There are also some traditions in which there are some advices on how to increase the sustenance. We will, God willing, have a look at some of them in the next program. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
This is IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mo'jiza kardid. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, and the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World. We are carrying on with these programs to shed light on the greatness of this great personality, Imam Khomeini. So, once again, I've got an expert in the studio, Sayyid Taqi Razavi, who's given us our valuable time, an Islamic scholar and researcher in the holy city of Qom, who has been guiding us through the life and times of Imam Khomeini. We spoke in the last program about the background, the holy lineage of the Imam, which is, you know, of great significance because he does come from the Holy Prophet's family, peace be upon them all. And of course, I'd like to say here at this moment that Imam Khomeini, really, as we will go through these programs and discover, he really gave us a glimpse of what our infallible Imams were like, because there's been a huge gap since the time of the great occultation of the 12th Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may God hasten his appearance soon. But we got a little glimpse in the last 30 years or so, something of what the Holy Prophet's family are like, and in terms of their character, their personality, their distinguishing virtues, their scholarship, of course, and their knowledge, you know, is always a cut above the rest. And, you know, he gave us a glimpse of that. But inshallah, God willing, as we go through these programs, we are going to shed light on this in